You are still breathing. Can you give me a big wave and give a big shout to Jesus this morning? Whoa! Praise God. Amen. It's great to be back in every nation. Pastor Tim, you know what? He and I, we have a weird and wonderful relationship. I'm weird. He's wonderful. And you know, that's because God is with him more than me. Because it says in the Bible, lo, I'm with you always. See, that's why, you know, I always feel that when I come in walking with him as a friend, you know, I always sense that he hears the Holy Spirit, you know, a lot more than many of us. If you want to hear the Holy Spirit today, I want you to open your heart and welcome him. So let's start with a word of prayer, can we? We welcome you, Holy Spirit, this morning. We ask that truly you will speak to us. And truly, God, beyond the words of men, you will minister to our hearts, that we will be sensitive to you. And so right now, our hearts are open to you. We say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Everybody say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Lord, we give you praise. You've heard our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. We're continuing our theme on with the Holy Spirit. So privileged that, you know, Pastor Tim has treated me as part of the family. He has given me the third in the four sessions of with the Holy Spirit to speak on. And 2 weeks ago, he spoke on thirst. Last week, Pastor Teresa spoke on walk. Today, I'm going to speak on run. Next week will be fly. No, okay, I was making a joke, okay? Today, I'm going to speak on anoint. Somebody say anoint. I'm going to speak on anoint, which is part and parcel of what the Holy Spirit does with us. When we learn to walk with him, when we learn to hunger for him, one of the things that he wants to do in our lives is to empower us, to anoint us for the works of God through our lives. See, the Holy Spirit wants to operate through human agency. God can do many things. God can do everything without us. But this is one of the great privileges of being born again believers, with Jesus living in us through the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, God wants to manifest his power, his glory, and his love to a world that does not know him. Somebody say amen. How many of you want to be a channel, an agency, a receptacle for God's power to come to your life? Wave your hands at me right now. Okay, I pray in Jesus' name as we learned about anoint this morning, that you may allow the Holy Spirit to anoint your lives. Now, what is the anointing? What does anoint mean? Well, in the New Testament Greek, it is the word krio. In Hebrew, it carries the same meaning as the New Testament Greek, which is to rub holy oil on something. When you rub holy oil, it is symbolic that that vessel or that person, that thing is actually consecrated and dedicated for God's use. That's why in the early days of the tabernacle, when they were building the tent of worship to God, many of the vessels that was used in worship were consecrated to God. And the way they consecrated these vessels to God was to anoint it, to rub holy oil on it and say, nobody can touch these vessels. These are holy unto God. These are the vessels going to be used for the purposes of worship to God, whether it's an altar of incense, whether it's a candlestick, and so on. And then in that process, they began to anoint the priests and the high priests especially as well. They were consecrated and dedicated to God to minister to God, God's people's prayers to God, and then God's word to the people. They were an intermediary in the Old Testament time. So they were consecrated, they were set apart, they were holy unto God. So in the Bible, when consecration took place through the anointing actually then endued the person, especially not so much the objects, but when it came to anointing the person, it endued the person with a supernatural authority to function in a certain way for God's purpose in a certain time. So the anointing throughout the scriptures is this, it's a supernatural enabling or empowering of God to do his work. Somebody say amen. It is a supernatural empowering and enabling. Now Acts chapter 10 verse 38 tells us these words, with incredible words, that Jesus could not have done anything that he did on planet Earth, miracles or casting out demons or whatever, without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is incredible. It's an incredible passage, and it reads in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Can you read it so loud that this whole factory lots around here, the whole of Puchong, will know the most happening place is in every nation church? Can somebody say an amen to that? Come on, if you're loud enough, read it loud with me. Acts 10, verse 38, go. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. See, God was with him through the Holy Spirit. We studied that last week, and that anointing began to take place in Jesus' life. In other words, nothing, Jesus could not have done the mighty works he did without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He was fully man, fully God, but in his full manhood, he needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit to do the work. And if Jesus needed it, how much more do we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Somebody say amen. Now, we see in the Old Testament that the anointing comes with the Spirit of God. Now, you know, in the early days when they consecrated the priests and anointed them, we're not told so much that, you know, the Spirit of God came upon them so much. But when it came to the anointing of prophets and kings, it was very clear that this was associated with the coming on of power from the Holy Spirit. For example, Saul was anointed as king in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 9 to 11. And when he was anointed as king by Samuel, he suddenly had an authority to lead his people. He became a leader. And not only that, he became a very bold leader and a great general and a warrior. And that's why he conquered the enemies around him. But at the same time when the anointing took place, you know, the Holy Spirit came upon him, we are told, rushed upon him, and he began to prophesy. As the word of God said, Samuel said, you know, you shall prophesy after the Holy Spirit has come on you. And when Saul was anointed king, an extra dimension of the anointing fell upon him that he began to prophesy for a short while with the prophets. The same thing happened to David. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13 tells us when David was anointed as king secretly by Samuel again, because Saul was still king, he anointed David secretly. The anointing came of David, and David knew he was destined to be king. A supernatural boldness and authority came upon him. We are told the Holy Spirit came upon David that day. Now, I want to just tell you, you know, when David slew Goliath, although it's not mentioned in 1 Samuel 17, you know, the Holy Spirit was with David. That's why he was able to slay Goliath, because the anointing for a future kingship was upon his life. But here's the thing about the Old Testament anointing. In the Old Testament anointing, the Holy Spirit was seen as God's presence and power that came upon a person for a specific time, for in a specific way, for a specific function, either as king or prophet or judge or whatever. However, it was not available to every believer. You don't hear of the whole of Israel being anointed. You don't hear of every Tom, Dick, and Harry, or every Jane, Jill, and Jennifer being anointed. You don't hear of that. Only specific persons, for a specific season, for a specific function. So a king or a prophet at a specific time that's called by God. It came on to certain persons for this reason only. The anointing was selective. It came upon. But when we come to the New Testament, the whole equation changes. Because now after Jesus died, rose again from the dead, the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, and now Jesus lives in us through the Holy Spirit in our lives. Somebody say amen. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. Every believer has God's presence in him or her. And now the anointing is possible for everyone. Not just on pastors and prophets and apostles and evangelists and teachers, but on everyone. Somebody say everyone. Turn to your neighbor and say, the anointing is upon you. And the anointing now is within every believer, because the Holy Spirit is now available in his power to every believer. Now, then the question often is asked, why is it that we manifest such different levels of the anointing in our lives? And this is what I want to address, how we can grow the anointing in our lives. But here's a verse that tells us that the Holy Spirit's anointing is available for every believer. Again, I want you to read it so loud. Somebody say loud. Say, read it so loud that everybody in Puchong knows, you know, the most happening place and the most fiery place is here in every nation. Somebody say amen. Let's go now. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. That's 1 John 2:27. The anointing abides means the anointing remains, or the anointing is within you. In the Old Testament, the anointing came upon a specific season, for a specific reason, for a specific person. But now, we are told the anointing is within you. Generic you, everyone who believes in Jesus. And you don't have any need that, you know, only specific people can receive a specific teaching. Everyone can receive the Holy Spirit's teaching. Yes, amen? Only everybody can receive the Holy Spirit's voice and the direction from the Holy Spirit. Can somebody say amen? Now, the thing is, we need to grow the anointing. Because if you don't grow the anointing is within us. Because the presence of God is within us. But it doesn't manifest. Someone is very suppressed. Sometimes we walk around as powerless believers. We don't have a sense that there's power and authority in our lives. And the devil is bullying us, kicking us around. We have no sense that we have authority. But we need to grow the anointing. How do we grow the anointing? The first thing we need to know is to cultivate the presence of God. You know, the first two sessions you had, thirst for the presence of God, thirst for the Holy Spirit. Walk with the presence of God. Walk with the Holy Spirit so that there's intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And as you cultivate His presence, because presence precedes anointing, then you can grow the anointing within your life. Every one of us has the anointing. Everyone else has the presence of God. But what attracts the glory or the presence of God to manifest in our lives? Let me tell you a story of a man called Roy Sullivan. He holds the record in the Guinness Book of Records for the largest number of times a person has been struck by lightning and yet survived. Anyone here has been struck by lightning before and survived? Can I see your hands? Those who didn't survive, I won't ask you to put up your hands. Okay. Anyone here? Because this guy was struck by lightning 7 times and he survived. First time, his hair caught fire and he became bota. Second time, the hair on his legs all got burnt. So, you know, for some of you ladies, that's one way to get rid of hair on your legs, okay? And another time, all his nails flew out. Fingernails, hand, you know, and toenails all flew out. Another time, all his eyebrows burned. But he survived. Nobody knows how is it that Roy Sullivan attracts lightning. How many of you want to be attractive to lightning? But nobody knows what the principles. The physics can't explain how this guy was attracted to lightning. And he held the world record for you know, up to today. You know, the world record still belongs to Roy Sullivan. But then what happened? He was working as a park ranger in Virginia in the United States. And then he fell in love with a fellow park ranger, a woman. And a relationship developed, but after a while, she dumped him. She chucked him. She jilted him. And in desperation, he went into depression and he committed suicide. Somebody say, whoa. That's terrible, right? So here's the point. What lightning couldn't do 7 times, a woman 1 time finished him off. So, okay. Now, I don't want to say anything more, okay? But here's the point. What attracted this guy to lightning? We don't know. We don't know. I wish physics could explain it. But in the spiritual realm, what will attract the anointing and the presence of God to manifest in your life? Here are the three things. That will cause the manifest presence of God in your life. The anointing to manifest in your life. The presence of God and the glory of God to manifest in your life. Number one, it's a surrendered life. Somebody say surrendered. It's a surrendered life. By that, I mean a life that's yielded to God. A life that your values are transformed by God's values. God's priorities becomes your priorities. God's burdens become your burdens. Do you understand? You have a heart and a desire for God to sort of walk with Him. So that your life's purpose becomes God's purpose for your life. His purpose for your life becomes your life's purpose. His values become your values. Increasingly, you're surrendered to Him. And your posture is that of a yielded posture to Him. It doesn't mean you need to change jobs and become a priest or a pastor or whatever, but you are walking in a surrendered posture to Him. So much so that the way you walk on earth is very different. See, most of us, we are wanting to stay on earth, but willing to go to heaven. That's how most of us live. But when you are surrendered to God, you know, your posture in your heart is that you want to go to heaven, but you're willing to stay on earth. It's very heavenward. You're always living just a line from eternity. God's presence is real. Now you say, Pastor, I'm not living at that level now. It's so far away from me. Begin today. Begin to walk the more yielded life. It's not asking you to give up your job and just go to a nunnery or a monastery. No. Even in your workplace, you can walk a surrendered life. Somebody say amen. Even if you're a student, you can walk a surrendered life. Even you're a busy mother looking after your kids and there are the three screaming kids at home, you can live a surrendered life. You're yielded to Him. His purpose becomes your purpose. His priority becomes yours. His burdens becomes yours. Heaven becomes your purpose while you're living on earth with all its challenges. You're thankful to God because He's with you, but that's ultimately where you belong. And these are the people who lived like this. Moses, after 40 years in the desert, trying to forget his past, God spoke to him because he had now taken Egypt out of Moses and he surrendered to God. And God spoke, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. Everybody say, here I am. It's a cry of surrender. Do you know, when Abraham had surrendered his life to God, completely surrendered, yielded to God, and God said, I want your son to sacrifice your son on Mount Moriah. And Abraham took Isaac up and he's about to plunge a knife in. The angel said, Abraham, Abraham. Abraham dropped his knife and said, here I am. Surrendered life. Here I am. God speaking to you today. And you say, here I am, God. The same with Jacob. Had cheated his brother Esau, ran away into wilderness with his uncle Laban, worked, and was cheated by his uncle Laban many times. And then when God had broken him, because broken into him, his character changed. And he came back to his land, his previous land again, his former land again, his father's land again. And God spoke to him in a dream one night and said, hey, Jacob, Jacob, same cry. Here I am. And that's why it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These people all surrendered their lives. It's the same with Samuel. When he was a young boy in the temple and didn't know God yet, eventually by God, he'd been dedicated by his parents, his mother to God, to serve God for the rest of his life. And God said, Samuel, Samuel. He didn't recognize it the first two times. On the third time, when he heard his name being called, here I am. This is a dead man's cry. It's a dead person's cry, spiritually dead. It's the same with Isaiah. Who will go? Who shall I send? Who shall go for me? And Abraham, Isaiah saw the glory of God. Here I am. Send me. Everybody say, here I am. That's the cry of a dead man. When you cry it from your heart and you surrender to God, that's when the presence of God begins to manifest, because presence precedes the anointing. Now you say, I'm not there, Pastor. I'm still got a long journey. But begin. Begin the journey of yieldedness, the posture of surrender, the posture of making His priorities yours, the decision to say, Lord, I will trust in You even though there are so many calls and white noise all around me. I will make Your priority mine, Your presence mine, Your intimacy with You mine, Your burdens mine, so that I will always be aware of heaven. Although I'm called to live on earth for the time being, I'm always wanting to go to heaven. But I'm willing to live on earth. But for most of us, the way we live, when God calls us home, we are struggling to stay on earth because we're all our life wanting to want to stay on earth, but just about willing to go to heaven. It's a very different dimension about surrenderedness. The second thing is about an uncompromised life. God says to Moses in Exodus 33, verse 1 to 15, you know, when the people of God were in the wilderness and they had committed sin and they sacrificed to the golden calf, and God said to Moses, I will not go with the people. I will send my angel to go before them. And you can, if you read Exodus, you know that the angel can manifest himself in the fire by night and the cloud by day. It can manifest. The angel's presence can manifest as fire at night and cloud by day. So people think, oh, God is still with us. But no, it's just an angel. And God said, I will send my angel to go with you into the promised land. I will drive out all the enemies, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Amorites. I will drive them out. And will give you a land flowing with milk and honey. Three things. Number one, angel will be present. Number two, you will drive out all the demonic forces and all the enemies. Number three, there will be prosperity for you. You will have ownership of the land flowing with milk and honey. There's lots and lots for you. But I will not go with you, only my angel. God says in Exodus 33 to the people. And the people say, oh, they moan for a while. They said, okay, but it's okay. We got all these three things, let's go. It is possible for a church to have numbers, to be thriving in its generosity and you know, rolling in money, and to have demonic spirits cast out and, you know, press and miracles taking place. But it's the angel that's present. God is not present. Exodus 33. But one person said, I will not go. God, if you do not go with us, I don't care about all these things. I don't care if you have give me a land flowing with milk and honey and money and wealth, and I have demonic forces cast out and signs and wonders, you know, I don't want any of those. If you don't go with us, we're not going. That person was Moses. He lived an uncompromised life. Neither money, nor wealth, nor numbers, nor signs and wonders could seduce him. He wanted the presence of God. That's an uncompromised life. And so I want you to hunger, because you want to, with the Holy Spirit. Somebody say with. With the Holy Spirit means you hunger for Him.
so that he walks with you.
And when you live an uncompromised life, you walk into an obedient life. What God says, you begin to do. It's because obedience is the key. That's what Samuel said to Saul in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. He said, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed better than the fat of lambs. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. In other words, deep down inside, if we have rebellion against God, anger, we're turning away from God, it's almost like witchcraft. We're in the powers of another power. We're in the grips of another power. And therefore, the Holy Spirit can't manifest himself through us. So the first thing is this whole area of living a surrendered life, okay? It's living an obedient life. It's living an uncompromised life. It is cultivating his presence more than anything else. That's why you have the first two talk, thirst and walk, cultivating his presence. The second way in which we grow the anointing in our life is to renew our minds. Our minds need to be renewed, because one of the greatest hindrances for God manifesting himself through us is because we live in a scientific world, a materialistic and secularist, humanistic, materialistic world, where we believe that everything is explicable by the laws of physics and the motion of elementary particles. And therefore, the supernatural cannot exist because it goes against the laws of nature. And therefore, we have a mind. But when you read the pages of the Bible, page after page after page talks about God's supernatural intervention, his miracles, his breakthroughs. And therefore, we need to renew our minds, because our minds are seduced by the culture of the world. Our mind is reduced by reductionist rationalism. That's how, you know. So we need to understand, we need to reject the theology of powerlessness. The first thing we must understand is, everybody says, you know, this can't happen because God can't intervene supernaturally. And therefore, we have a theology of powerlessness. Yes, it's good for us to gather in a community. It's good for us to know that we are saved. It's good to know that, you know, we belong to God's kingdom. It's good, but no power. We must reject a theology of powerlessness. Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. The knowledge of what God says. John 8 verse 32 says, you know, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Can somebody say amen? Romans 12:2 tells us, do not be conformed to the world. Don't let the world dictate what you must believe. Don't let it only dictate. Believe what the word of God says, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. In order to believe, we must be transformed. And that transformation means that we must believe we have authority. Authority to heal, to cast out demons. Luke 10 verse 9. Jesus said to the disciples, heal the sick, come to your village and say, the kingdom of God has come upon you. And then they will see the manifest power of God. And that kingdom is spiritually violent. Matthew 11 verse 12 tells us, ever since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and the violent shall take it by force. So how do we renew our minds? This is the way in which we renew our minds. You're not going to renew your minds by reading your social media portals or your news portals. You're not going to renew your mind just by reading some journal, some scientific journal. You're not reading your mind by reading a newspaper. There's only one way to renew your mind, and it's to meditate on God's word. And Joshua 1:8 tells us this. If you want to renew your mind, because if the Holy Spirit speaks to you, your mind must cooperate, that you're willing to obey. Because if your mind doesn't cooperate and you say, you shut the Holy Spirit voice off, even though you're walking with him and you're shutting it off, you won't allow yourself to be used by the Holy Spirit. So you need to renew your mind, okay? How do we renew our mind? Meditate and confess God's word, okay? Joshua 1:8, let's speak this aloud, okay? Ready, go. This book of the law, can you read it aloud? Go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you shall make your way prosperous and successful. How many of you want to be prosperous? I want to be prosperous. How many of you want to be successful? I want to be successful. The word of God says that. Therefore, we must understand that although physically we are nothing, because the devil will know every judo, every taekwondo, every kung fu, martial arts, spiritual, to knock us off, we have authority. And I believe what the word of God says, that we have authority. It's just like a policeman who sees road rage. And if he doesn't believe he has authority, he will not stand in the middle of the road to stop the truck that's road raging. Why? Because the truck will run over him. If he's fat, he will become Ham Chin Pang. If he's tall and thin, he will become Yu Cha Kui. So he has no physical authority. He knows he can't stop. But when he holds up, supposing he chooses to enforce that authority. Physically, he's no match, but he lifts up his hand. The truck driver has to stop. He may be cursing and swearing, but he will have to stop. Behind the hand is the authority of the Agong of Malaysia, Polis Diraja Malaysia. Can somebody say amen? When you choose to believe what God says and that you have authority, and you can allow the anointing to manifest through you and you exert that authority, then the enemy recognizes that authority is in you. Don't let the enemy kick you around, kick your family around, bully you. Bully your mind space, bully your family, bully you. Stand and contend. Somebody say amen. And to stand and contend, our spirit man must be strong and sensitive. In what way? Our spirit man must begin to communicate with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is in us. The anointing grows within us. Holy Spirit speaks to us to stand in the gap and command. The mind blocks and say, no, I don't believe this from God. What if it doesn't happen? What if, you know, I don't have authority? Now that's why you renew your mind. But once you renew your mind, I want your spirit man to be strong so that you continue to receive God's word in your heart. So you need to build up your spirit man. And how do we build our spirit man? By learning to pray in the spirit. By learning to pray in the spirit. I know this church believes in the baptism and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I know that as you begin to pray, you know, it's very hard to just pray in English for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes or half an hour. But if you learn to pray in tongues, the Bible tells us this, he who speaks in the tongues edifies himself. Which part of himself? For if I pray in the tongue, my spirit prays. The spirit, your spirit man is edified. What is the conclusion then? The Apostle Paul writes, I will pray with the spirit. I will also pray in English. Lord Jesus, you are the King of Kings and the authority. I will sing in the spirit. And I will also pray. I will sing with understanding. Oh, Jesus, we enthrone you. We'll sing. And as we do so, our spirit man is built up. When our spirit man is built up, it becomes like a fertile bed. Becomes fertile. When the word of God now drops into my spirit, the fertile bed can allow it to grow, put roots down, and becomes to spring up like a mighty oak tree of faith in our lives. Somebody say amen. So we begin to pray in the spirit, and then by confessing God's word. As you pray in the spirit, you begin to confess. Sharabaho rabba, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Word of God now. Sharabaho rabba, and then it's the word of God. You begin to embed it. I believe. I confess means I agree with what God's word says. I believe what he's saying. I believe it. Because if you don't pray in the spirit and just confess God's word, the bed of your heart, the spirit is still very hard. You can keep saying it, but it has no anchor. No roots can go down because the spirit is still hard. But when you edify your spirit man and you fertilize it and you soften the ground and you begin to speak God's word, and then you speak God's word, the word goes in, it takes root, becomes a shoot, and it becomes a mighty oak tree. The anointing grows within your life. Somebody say amen. People say to me, does it work? Let me give you an example of what it works. Because the Bible tells us this, okay? And I want you to read this, how faith comes, okay? Romans 10:17. Really loud, go now. And hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by? And hearing by? This is in the New King James Version. If you read the NIV, it says faith comes by hearing the word of God. Not the original Greek. The original Greek is faith comes by hearing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not one thing, not two things, not three things, but all things. I keep saying it and hearing again by the word of God. And as you hear it and you speak it, and you pray in tongues, it drops into your spirit man. And the anointing grows because your anointing follows the presence of God. It follows the word of God. Somebody say amen. It follows. Does it work? It's like a Coke vending machine. You do this every day. You may not see results immediately. But, you know, it's like putting the coins in a Coke vending machine. You keep 10 cents in, 20 cents in the old days. Nowadays, Coke vending machine, you use your credit card. But in the old days, you just put coins. 10 cents, 20 cents, 10 cents, you know, 50 cents. Nothing happens. You keep putting the shillings in, nothing happens. And then one moment, one final coin drops in, the whole machine shakes and the Coke comes out. And it's yours for life. The Coke is yours for life. Nobody can take that Coke away from you. Somebody say amen. You continue to meditate and confess the word, meditate. Nothing seems to happen. But one day, you confess the meditated word and it drops into your spirit and the anointing is yours. You believe that God can heal the sick. You believe that God can cast out demons. You believe. It's there. Word and spirit has come together. the Holy Spirit has put the presence of God, anointing of God within you. And you grow the anointing. And the final thing is, now the anointing is within you. What happens? You need to learn to obey. Somebody say, obey. Obey. See, it is this. Faith is what you build on the inside. How do you know you have faith? You have to execute it. Boldness is what you do on the outside. What you say and what you do. It's no point having faith, but you never use it. Having faith and don't use it is like having money, never use it. Useless, right? If you got money but don't use it, some people just keep it in a bank. They just love to watch a bank statement, you know. You know, every your month it just grows and grows, you know. And then one day they just die. And then the money goes to somebody else. Useful or not? Useless. Useless. You need to use that money. Either you invest it and multiply it, or you use it to bless the kingdom and bless people. You use it for your family. You use it for yourself. Whatever, you just use it. Can somebody say amen? You got to use faith. Somebody say use it. You got to use it, okay? You got to decide and use it. Let me give you a picture of what it means to use it. Use it means you've got to step out and use it. The anointing is within you. Let me give you a picture, right? This is two frogs on a lily leaf, right? Now, let me give you a puzzle. Two frogs were sitting on a lily leaf. One frog decided to jump into the water. Okay, how many frogs are there left on the lily leaf? How many? No, it's two. Why is that? For the frog to decide to jump in, it's not the same as jumping in. The frog decide, but hasn't jumped in yet. True or not? It's like investment. If I got a company and you say, I've decided to invest in your company. Has he invested in my company, yes or no? No, until I see the money, he can decide till the cows come home. He's decided to invest in my company. He believes in me. He says it's the best company. It's going to be the best investment. Until I see his money, he's not invested. You can say, I believe God can heal. I believe God can cast out demons. I believe my children will be set free. I believe my family will come under God's covering and then we will be set free from the bondage. It's one thing to say, because I have the faith. But until you execute it, you say, I decide now. God's going to use me. But until you execute it, nothing happens. Can somebody say amen? That's the final part of the anointing, obedience, okay? And obedience tells us that God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Can you read this aloud? Ready, go. For God not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have boldness. Tell them, okay? Let me finish by just telling you a story, okay? Many years ago, I came to the house of a big house like that. This was not a house, but it was a big house like that. To do a house call. But I'm a medical doctor as well as a pastor. So I was doing a house call, and this woman, the matriarch of the house, she had diabetes. So this is what I specialize in. I came to do a house call to her, for her. And she was lying on the bed. And in the bedroom, I was surrounded by all her grown-up sons and daughters. You know, all folding their arms, looking at me as I was looking after the mother and the husband. So when I finished looking after her, the eldest daughter, who was a woman of the family, she turned and looked at me. And this is what she said in Cantonese. Just break into a little bit of Cantonese. She said, okay? Yeah, because you know, this is exactly how the conversation ensued. She says, Yisang ah, chung ya kin siya. I said, miya siya. Ngoke ma, they said, sing yara fat ok mo. My mother always has bad dreams. I said, what kind of bad dreams? Like something is throttling her at night. And she wakes up crying and screaming and she hits everybody around her. And I look at her husband, he had bruises on his face. So this is a very violent hantu, you know, whatever. She said, what is it? You know, got any medicines to heal it? I said, no. She said, you know, but then because I've been meditating and confessing God's word now for many months. The anointing is somewhere within. So I opened my mouth and I said, but Jesus can heal. I said it. Oh, I shouldn't have said it, no. Where did it come from? The boldness to execute. And she said, Jesus can heal. And they were very cynical. They all folded their arms and looked at me out of the corner of the eye. And this is what they said. Hi, my guy, Yisang. So the boldness means that you have to, now I'm shaking. I said, Haya, kama, kam tim kunjau le mokwa ya. How do you get rid of these demons? I said, kei tola taka. Oh, they look at each other, they laugh. And they said, kama, le my kei tola. Let's go pray. So I prayed, but I didn't know what to pray, so I broke out in tongues. Shara ba da da da, and I scared them even more. Because I don't know what to say. See, I was so scared. Shara da da, and then I thought to myself, now they really know. Really a mad doctor. So I had to break up in the Cantonese, broken Cantonese. Ah, chia so, let's start selling more choir. couldn't tell him more quick. Eventually, I finished, and they said to me, I finished. I said, Fong Chi, yes, oh man, okay, so hallelujah, amen. So I finished. They look at me and say, Is that all? I said, yeah, that's all. So my mother, when I before I left, the eldest daughter said to me, my mother won't have any more nightmares, huh, tonight, huh? Doctor, any more or not? What do you say? Easy for you to say. I swallowed her, look at her. Hi, ma, come on, we found Mong La. So he said, come on, come, I'm quite late, Isang. Then she said this to me. Think you're late, don't find a tango ma toa by tang tap. Tomorrow you come back and see my mother one more time, can or not? I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to test me. I was really stuck at the door before I could leave. She said, can you come back tomorrow? Tang ta. Tang ta, tang ta. Easy for you to say. So I, like, tak, mem, tak, tak. That night, I didn't sleep, okay? The next day, I came back, knocked on the door. I opened the, she opened the door, flung open the door. She pointed her finger straight at me. I looked at her, and I said, Li pai, gang say lo. I said, chan hai ga yisang mou jo, chaman mou jo. Mou jo, mou gare fara o mou lai, 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 lai. So come on, give the Lord a big hand, amen. So I went upstairs, they called, Mama, Mama, Yisang Lelo. I went upstairs, prayed. The old lady said, hey, don't forget about diabetes. Don't worry about my diabetes. Come pray for me. So after praying, I led her to the Lord. And she looked up at her husband and said, Leida Haila, you better receive the Lord also. So the husband, there's no choice because always listen to your wife, right? Okay, I'm just talking. The husband said, he received the Lord, whole family received the Lord. That's how they came to know the Lord. Come on. Come on, let's want to give the Lord a big hand. How many, I would tell you, it's quite frightening. But unless you step out and obey, nothing's going to happen. Because obedience is spelled R-I-S-K. That's how it's spelled. Okay? And so what happens, people say to me, if, you know, it doesn't, prayer does get answered. Here's the point. You leave it to God. Leave it to God. Sometimes prayers doesn't get answered. If your grandmother doesn't get healed, your family member doesn't get delivered there and then, don't worry. Just give God all the praise and thanks. Let God handle it. So long as your heart is clean, you're not trying to boast, you're not trying to show off, but you're depending on God. God will look after himself. Somebody say amen. And faith will ride on the wings of praise. And that's how you grow the anointing in your life. So many years ago, this is what happened when our daughter Sarah was found accidentally strangulated on a clothesline in a violin teacher's house. 20 years ago, when she was 4 years old. She was brought down dead. I got a phone call from the violin teacher to come immediately. But God told me, because again, you know, the reason why you build up the anointing in your life is so that there are moments like this, you don't have time. You need to say God's word. You don't have time to, if you've been building up the anointing in your life, you go and you do what God tells you to do. So I just went and I spoke life into Sarah. And then breath came back. And eventually, the long and short of it was she was brought to hospital in a coma. She had been found accidentally hanging on the clothesline by an accident, tragic accident. For about 7 minutes, 5 to 7 minutes, she was brought down from the clothesline, dead. But breath came back, brought her to the hospital. She was in a coma. And then as the church continued to pray, because that was the first year of the church, a small church at that time, continued to pray, cry out to God, anointing, believing. I asked the people, you believe it, you stay with me and you pray. And long and short of it, within about 12 hours, Sarah not only came out of the coma, she came out completely healed and she was alive in the name of Jesus. And what people say, what's the sequela? This is Sarah today in the middle. Today, she's 24 years old. And by God's grace, she's a worship leader in a wonderful church. Passionate fully for the Lord. And what she's doing today, she's a medical doctor today. So I want to say this, when God does something, He does something incredible. Let's have the next slide, okay? He does something incredible. And today, I just want to bring your attention to a couple of books I've written. And this is called The Invasive Kingdom, where the anointing invades your life, invades your workplace, invades where you are, and you believe God. And The Call of Issachar, which is about learning to pray and learning to find authority from God and standing in the gap for your family and for our nation. If you find these two books useful, you can pick it up at the help desk on the way out. I know it will bless you. And it will bring many giants down in your life. How many of you want to grow in the anointing? Can I see your hands? If that's you, stand up on your feet right now because I'm going to pray for all of us as we finish right now, wherever you are. Father, I just thank you for each and every one here. I thank you, Lord, with our hands lifted up. Lift up your hands, everyone. Even you're watching this online at home, lift up your hands, open your heart, and welcome the Holy Spirit. Everyone say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Everybody say, here I am. Father, I pray as you hear the cry that they're here for you. Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that you will touch their lives, bring the anointing to flow in their lives. Lord, as they walk with you, as they long and thirst for you, I pray for the anointing to manifest, oh God, in their lives, so that, Lord, the anointing will break the yoke of every bondage, of every mountainous in their life right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray that they will be set free, because if the Son of God sets you free, you are free indeed. And I pray right now to receive the impartation for your heart to walk in obedience to God, to cultivate His presence, to learn to meditate and confess God's word, to allow God's word to come into your life, saturate it, and to walk in obedience to God, to give Him all the praise, even if it means taking risk. For your hands will touch, your eyes will see, and your heart will rejoice and see the glory of God manifest and His kingdom power manifest in signs and wonders and miracles. And all God's people said, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand for all that He's doing. Amen.